Today we're going to look at John chapter 4, and this is the great conversation that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. A few things just to keep in mind to begin with, that remember we've just been through several things, but in the previous incident, John the Baptist says that Jesus is the bridegroom. Before that, we saw Jesus cleansing his house and saying that there was a new house for the people of God. That was his body. Even further back, we have the first sign at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. So just highlighting that John wants us to notice these bridegroom and marriage themes, and that all through the Old Testament, Israel was God's bride, and the covenant at Sinai was a marriage ceremony, and the temple was, as it were, a wedding house or a newlywed house, a honeymoon house. So these themes are going to be very important even in this passage. So let's look at John 4. We're just going to do 1 through 14 today. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So there's so much going on in this passage, and I don't know that we're going to cover it all, but let me touch on a few things. First of all, it says that Jesus went away from Judea when the Pharisees heard that he was getting more disciples than John the Baptist. Jesus deliberately in the Gospels runs away from fame. He runs away from the crowds. Remember earlier in John, it says, in fact, just passages before it, it said that Jesus knew what was in men. He knew they were fickle, and he knew that popularity with people is not necessarily a good sign of what he wants to do. And so he's going to go back to Galilee, and he spends much of his time in the Gospel of John in Galilee. And then it says that he had to go through Samaria. A few things. Samaria is the region of the northern kingdom, Israel, in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there had been a deportation of Jews by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians planted another group of people there. And so the Jews who remained in the land and these people mixed, and these are what we call Samaritans. So they worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Jews considered them half-breeds, they considered them sort of mutts, and they didn't think much of them, and they had a lot of dispute with them. So it's interesting that Jesus had to go through there. Many Jews did not go through there. They would go around Samaria. So Jesus having to go through there seems like it's maybe a prompting of the Holy Spirit or a part of his mission. And we should be sensitive to those moments of prompting that seem like a have to. So it says that he had to pass through that area. And then he gets into this conversation with the woman at the well. And I want to point out a couple of things. First of all, we've already had many conversations in the Gospel of John about water. We have the water for purification that gets turned into wine. Jesus will talk about living water here. Water is a very important theme in the Gospel of John. And it points to all kinds of biblical themes. It would go all the way back to the water in the Garden of Eden and the water for washing in the temple. There's all kinds of resonances going on here. But one of the most important biblical references that I'd like to point out is that in the Old Testament, men and women meeting at wells of water, usually connected with marriage, is a repeated theme. All right, just think about several very significant meetings at water. Abraham's servant finds Rebecca, the future wife of his master's son, at a well of water. Jacob will meet Rachel, his wife, at the same well of water in a chance meeting. Moses, while he's running away from Pharaoh, will encounter his future wife at a well of water. And then if we wanted to add to that, I would point out that Hagar, the handmaiden of Sarah, has two encounters with a divine messenger at a well of water. So this theme of water, of marriage, and of the people of God and fruitfulness and blessing are all repeatedly occurring in Scripture. And we'll unpack that more in this scene as we cover the rest of it. But I just wanted to drop that there and encourage everybody to notice there's something far more than just a chance conversation about water going on here. Jesus and John and the Holy Spirit are opening up a very important biblical theme, and it's a theme that John has been emphasizing throughout. If we remember, Jesus is the bridegroom, and here's a woman at a well, we know that there's far more going on here than just getting water in the middle of the day. Note it is in the middle of the day. It was about the sixth hour. That means high noon. That's a pretty unusual time for a woman to go out to get water. Most of the time in Scripture, it's at the end of the day. People suggest that maybe because of her reputation, she was avoiding other women. That is perhaps true. But then I just want to draw out this mundane incident that Jesus says, give me something to drink. In the Greek, it's a little bit more polite, or it sounds a little more polite. Please give me something to drink. And the reason I draw this out is just to emphasize that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And just like you and I, if we had gone on a 12-mile hike and it was in the Middle East, in the middle of the day, we would be tired and thirsty. Jesus shares our nature. And there he is sitting to rest in the middle of the day while his disciples go to get food. That should remind us that Jesus didn't cheat. He fully entered into the human condition. And he needs a drink of water. And so he opens up this conversation with this woman and says, hey, would you please give me a drink of water? And of course, that turns from a mundane conversation about a basic human need into a transcendent conversation about the most fundamental of human needs. So Jesus says, well, listen, if you knew who I was, and who is asking you, you would be doing the asking, and you would ask me, and I would freely give you living water. So to just cut right to the chase, Jesus speaks of this well as and the kind of water that he will give, living water, flowing water. He's speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this opens up, again, another great biblical theme. You might think of Ezekiel chapter 47 and the little trickle of water that comes out from the temple and then makes everything alive wherever it goes. That's an image of the Holy Spirit. You might think of how the prophets continually chastise the people of God because they try to dig out their own cisterns of water to provide water for themselves, but God is the source of water. Again, back to the Garden of Eden. One of the essential features of a garden is a source of flowing water. And Jesus tells this woman, listen, I could give you a water and you would become a walking well. You would become a walking source of refreshment and life. And so Jesus is promising her the gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings forgiveness, it brings connection to God, it brings joy, it brings new life, it brings a refreshing down deep in our bones. And we're going to find out as the story unfolds that that is a deep need of the woman, and she's going to respond deeply to this promise that he gives. So we'll leave it there where he says, listen, I'm offering you, please give me a drink, but I'm offering you a transcendent kind of a drink. And you will become a mobile source of water for other people if you drink it. And it'll bring deep refreshing for your own soul. So just two quick observations, or maybe three. The first one would be, when we read the Bible, we should always read with an ear for where themes echo in other parts of the scripture. So wells of water and marriages that get begun at wells of water. The second thing is just the observation that for the people of God, there are no mundane conversations. This starts out as a mundane conversation. It will turn to issues of the day, but it will go to transcendent matters of the heart. And so any conversation can be like that. And Jesus regularly turns everyday conversations into eternal conversations. And then finally, just to emphasize that one of the promises of the gospel, one of the promises of Jesus is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus emphasizes that. He emphasizes that he's the giver, that the Father will send him to give this gift. And a major part of why Jesus dies and rises from the dead is so that we can have this gift of the Holy Spirit, which brings refreshing to us, but from us to other people. And this is a great part of the gospel. The gospel doesn't just promise forgiveness. It promises this new well of life that can spring up inside of us and be a source of refreshing for other people. So may we have no mundane conversations, and may we ask the gracious giver of the free gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can have that refreshing and give that refreshing to other people. Lord bless you.